All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing until we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
If there was one player that I could like determine, if somebody was like, okay, how could you determine who is an all-out 49ers maniac fan? I would say, tell me about Ben Bartsch. Because I don't think that this is a player that a lot of fans know about, but they sure as hell should. This guy was your starting center in OTAs, in minicamp. That's who this guy is. Now, you kind of pulled a fast one across the NFL, and you sniped him off a practice squad from the Jaguars. You know, he plays interior offensive line. He plays center guard. He can play a lot of spots. Fun player. Former fourth-round pick. But here's the crazy part. He's only 25 years old. He's young. Tore his ACL in 2022. Rehab the process going into last year. He tore his ACL week 5, 2022. Came in on the PUP list last year for the Jaguars. And they tried to kind of stash him and kind of like slowly like kind of hide it. They do the Ezra Cleveland trade for guard. And they activated him at the same time. Niners poached him. And they took him off the practice squad. And he's been activated since. The 49ers love this dude. And I think that there's a much greater chance. He comes in 59 for us on the roster countdown. I'm telling you, this dude's going to make the roster. He's going to be there. They like him way too much, and he plays way too many spots. I think he's probably the number three center, number three guard, maybe number two guard. Like, they might have him currently ahead of Dominique Pooney. Dominique Pooney is a play next year. I really do believe that. He'll play some this year, but if an injury happened at one of the guard or center spots, Ben Bartsch would be in. Now, right guard's going to be Spencer Burford. He's got that locked down. And if the center got injured, God forbid, maybe you move Feliciano over and Burford up. But if there was an injury at left guard, Ben Bartsch would be the first one to go in, especially for the first month of the season. Maybe the rookie, Dominique Pooney, passes that eventually, but I don't think he's there yet. Ben Bartsch is a damn good player who this coaching staff is in love with, and I think he's going to be around the 49ers for a long time as this kind of hybrid, versatile backup. Now, who is he? Shout out to Josh, executive producer of this show, and for our entire series, Zach, Dave, Oscar, we've got a lot of great people helping out. Ben Bartsch is weird. Like, not personally, it's just his story is so unique. He was the only player drafted from Division III back in 2020. He was the only one. And even his story out of Blanchette Catholic High School, Oregon, it's just weird. He's 6'6", 315. You love those. That's probably the best of the best. But what people don't know, This dude was 230 pounds. 230 pounds in college. He had to pack all the weight. It got up to 315. Hello, Joe Staley, right? You talk about these guys that were like tight ends, linebackers, but the frame says, man, the best spot for you is offensive line, but you got to bulk up. And this dude's got a crazy story. What he did is he started making these shakes. This is disgusting. Just warned you. Again, going from 230 pounds in 2016 to 305 in 2019. Dude gained 75 pounds in college. Okay? Here's what his shake was, or his smoothie. Scrambled eggs, a big tub of cottage cheese, quick grits, peanut butter, banana, and Gatorade. The Gatorade is what tips it for me. There's a lot. Actually, there's like three red flags here. But that's okay. This dude would drink this on the daily just to gain weight. He said, quote, I would just throw it all in, plug my nose. He's like, I would gag sometimes, but that's what you got to do. End quote. Like, talk about somebody that's going to do what he has to do to get the job done and to gain weight. Incredible. Incredible. Now, he did not get to participate in the combine with a lot of the drills. He did the measurements, all that stuff. So you got the 6'6", 315, 32, 7/8 inch arms, right at 33 inch arms. Like, those three things, and he's hyper-athletic. You watch the tape. He is a mover at guard. And the 49ers seem to be obsessed with this. They want these hyper-athletic interior offensive line, the outside zone, the pin pull, all that stuff. And they want to coach them up into their scheme. Now, understand this next part has a little bit of an asterisk to it because you're only plugging in three fields, height, weight, arm length, right? 6'6", 315, 33-inch arms, basically. That's what you want. The guys that he's comped to, Graham Barton, first-round center this year, 99% match. Zach Zinter, 99% match. Brian Bulaga, 97% match. All those guys have experience and have played in this 49er scheme. It's a perfect fit on the interior. Height, weight, arm length, athleticism. That's what he's got. Now, the metrics with the testing we ain't got, we're never going to get. Nobody runs 40s and three codes and all that stuff afterwards. But the crazy part is he's 25 years old, going into his fifth season. He's 1 year older than both rookies we drafted on the offensive line this year. Jared Kingston and Dominique Pooney are a year to a year and a half younger. That's it. He's already played 4 years. He's got experience, a lot of experience. 1,000-plus snaps in the NFL. Special team snaps, multiple systems. He's already been in the 49ers system because they poached him last year in late November. And guess what? This dude got snaps in the Super Bowl. Yeah, special team snaps. I don't care. It matters. He was a part of the playoff run. It matters. And whenever you listen to the coaching staff, here's Chris Forster, the offensive line coach. I would say probably number two offensively for the 49ers next to only Kyle Shanahan. Here's when Chris Forster was asked about Ben Bartsch, you know, what he's looking like this year. Because, again, last year was coming off the ACL. They sniped him from the practice squad after the Ezra Miller trade for Jacksonville. Here's what Chris Forster had to say.
In fact, thanks for reminding me. I forgot he had the ACL. That's why it was kind of that little bit of a delay. And he got back in there this year, and he is. This spring, he's taking a step. Now, we're playing in shorts, but his initial, you know, he's heard it. He got away from it. He's come back, and he's looked very, very good at center and guard. And we'll see when we get the pads on if he's able to play with a little more anchor, a little more strength and the things. But right now, he looks like he's been here for 3 or 4 years and has fit in very well. We're happy with Ben.
They love this guy. I'm telling you. They wanted this role to go to Nick Zakel, who just couldn't hold it down. He's passed Nick Zakel in the guard depth chart and the center depth chart, and I don't think that's ever going to change, sadly. Now, he's born in McMinnville, Oregon. Awesome. Four-year letter in basketball, football, played wide receiver and tight end. Now this dude's playing center. Wide receiver to center. How cool is that? You know, Good Works team nominee in 2019, studied abroad in South Africa in 2019, went to the Senior Bowl in 2020. That's where the 49ers fell in love with him. I can guarantee you they love Senior Bowl players. They love those guys. Now, again, I already said this earlier, but I want to say this again. The only Division III non-scholarship athlete selected. Like, that's crazy. The dude was in a Super Bowl a couple months ago. Non-scholarship D3 to Super Bowl. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Very versatile. He's only had 3 penalties in his career, and he's got a lot of playing time. Remember, he was drafted 116 overall in 2020. So to put that into perspective, Jordan Elliott, the newest 49er, you know, they brought over defensive tackle, went 20 picks before him. And Colton McKivitz, right tackle for a few years now, went 40 picks after him. So that's kind of, he's been in the NFL for a while. Those guys have gone all the way through their rookie deals, all the way through. So you kind of look at, he didn't play a lot for us last year. He got 28 offensive snaps for the 49ers. It was all in, you know, garbage time blowouts. Did have 40 special team snaps, though. He was on our kickoff, or sorry, our field goal extra point team. And so he was out there. Now, he played 4 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then they tried to stash him. They trade for Ezra Miller. They put him on the practice squad. We steal him. So he had 4 games for the Jags last year and then played for us. And again, you just heard Forster. Coming off that ACL, last year was kind of figured out. Well, now's time to implement. And when the pads come on, because that's been his biggest issue, is run blocking. He's graded out at a 48.6 last year. That's terrible. That's terrible. Pass blocking 63.5, good. But smart, athletic, he fits the prototype. Can he implement the physicality, you heard Chris Forster talk about it, to be able to apply that to the 49ers offense? We'll see. We'll see. But this guy's not going anywhere. And he's got, you look at 1,400 career offensive snaps. That's a lot. He's played a lot. He started 20 games in the NFL over a year's worth, played in 46. Hasn't been great with Jacksonville, but now he's going to one of the most offensive line friendly systems in the NFL, and that is the 49ers. That's it. He signed a 1-year deal worth $1.1 million. He's got $4.9 million career earnings. So he's made some money in his time. But where's he fit in on the depth chart? Because interior offensive line, they usually keep 4 to 5, and they usually call one up. And there's a lot of locks. Banks is a lock. Brindle's a lock. John Feliciano's a lock. Dominique Pooney is a lock. That's 4. The next tier guys, Burford and Batch, I've got those two guys lockstep. Now, Burford, they're keeping. He's not going anywhere. Will they add on an extra O-line spot to keep Ben Bartsch? If they think somebody's going to snipe him, did you keep him? If not, you could try to cut him and stash him like Jacksonville did. You saw how that worked out. Now, behind those two, I've got Kingston. And it's funny because the next one up in this countdown is the rookie lineman, Jarrett Kingston. But I'm telling you, I think Ben Bartsch makes this roster over him. I really do. I think they like Kingston. But Ben Bartsch has been in the league, and he's young, and he provides center flexibility. I don't know. Now, behind them, you got Nick Sakel, Drake Nugent, Bryson Mays. Can some of those back-end guys do something to jump off and say, hey, we could do something at center? If one of those guys do, that lessens the need of a Ben Bartsch. Remember, Jake Brindle, he got knee tendonitis. John Feliciano's missed a lot of time. He's a vet, long in the tooth. Like, those are your 1 and 2 centers. If you have any question marks whatsoever with those two guys, Ben Bartsch is your answer. He's going to be starting a game at center this year. I'm just telling you. And I don't want it to happen. I want everybody to stay healthy all the time. But chances are way better than 70% that Ben Bartsch is starting a game for the 49ers this year. So, do you bump that down to the practice squad and hope and cross your finger that he's going to be there, or do you open up a spot for him? Well, if you open up a spot at the interior offensive line, you got to take a spot from somewhere else. It's easy to say he's going to make the roster. What spot are you going to take away? You going to take away a linebacker spot, a wide receiver spot, a tight end spot? You see, like, 49ers roster, and again, it goes back to why the Niners didn't spend a lot of draft capital on the offensive line, because they like their backups. You spent a third, you spent a sixth, but you didn't spend like a top 1 or 2 pick. I don't know. It's guys like Ben Bartsch that make the difference between NFL teams. Quality depth backups. And I think that he qualifies. I know the Niners like this guy, and I'm telling you, this dude going to be starting a game for the 49ers this year. I'd bet on it. Will he make the initial 53? We got him at 59, so he's right on the outside of that. But this is the name. You want to question your 49ers friends, fandom? Say, tell me about Ben Bartsch, baby. And that'll let you know real quick, because don't give them a hard time if they don't know. Just, you know, send them the show and say, hey, there's this one guy with rosy cheeks that talks about all the players, and he says you should know about Ben Bartsch. And then you just send them the show, and that's what we got. But, Ben, excited to have you on the team. Curious to see what you're going to do. And if there is any hiccups whatsoever at Jake Brindle's knees, Ben Bartsch is your answer. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So we got another rookie coming in number 58 on our countdown, Jared Kingston, 6th-round pick, offensive lineman, going to be kind of a guard only, which is a little bit different in kind of the 49ers philosophy, usually versatility, usually all these things. But one of the important things to understand is even though Jared Kingston was drafted, even though Jared Kingston was a 6th-round pick, Shanahan and John Lynch came out and said, look, we're looking at like 5 rounds of draftable players in this draft. Jared Kingston, through no fault of his own, I think the Niners see him as an undrafted free agent plus, and the grades kind of grayed out on that, whether that's Dane Brugler, you know, whenever the 49ers official list came out with all their meetings, shout out to Steph Sanchez and all that stuff. It was like, all right, this is a guy the 49ers have met with. And I think we did 205 prospects in our draft book. And so he was on my short list of guys to get to. We started running out of time. I watched a couple clips of him, watched a quarter of him, and I was like, you know what? I don't think that I'm going to be giving this player a first through seventh round grade. So I pulled him off. So I was aware of him. I had a little bit of draft write-up, but I pulled it from our official draft book because I was like, man, I'm not going to have time to do my full two-game analysis of him before the draft. So he was one of the guys that kind of got bumped out. But make no mistake, you know, seven rounds of players are going to get drafted. So he's draftable, and he was drafted, but I'm not quite sure where he fits on the depth chart, and we're going to break that down. There's a lot of things to really like about Jared Kingston. Shout out to Josh, the writer and producer of today's show. He's a fun player. Wears jersey number 62 for the 49ers, comes in at 58. And he look, we had four polls, 1 through 91, ranking the entire roster. His highest was 53. His lowest was 64. And the 49ers have done really, really well on keeping their draft picks on their roster, no matter how good the roster becomes. I think, last year you had Cameron Latu kind of stashed on IR. You let go of Tariq Castro Fields, a couple years ago. That's about it. All the other rookies have made the roster. It doesn't matter where you're at. Like, they have had the opportunity to make the roster. I don't know at this O-line position. And when we look at the numbers, it's tough. Now, the good, okay? 6'4", 306. And if there's one thing that I can say about Jared Kingston, hyper-athleticism, experience. He has experience in three separate schemes. Three. The air raid, my man Mike Leach, rest his soul, man. One of the greatest personalities in the history of football. And again, he even talks about it. Oh, I'll play this right. Like, his first 2 years with Mike Leach at Washington State, he was there at Washington State for 4 years, then he goes to USC. He's kind of had a myriad of experiences. Here's him talking about, playing for Mike Leach at Washington State and then the difference later in his career at USC.
Say so. Yeah, I think, like, the 2 years I did have Mike Leach, we really only pass blocked, even, like, in practice. We run blocked a little bit, but, yeah, I think so. Just having so many reps at it really helped me with that.
And then as your career progressed, you got more run blocking work in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who would you credit, or what kind of system and work would you credit for being able to polish that to get drafted?
Yeah, I think this last year with Josh Henson, my offensive line coach at USC, really helped me with the run blocking, inside zone, outside zone, gap scheme, like, and not just like physically able to do it, but like mentally, like learn more about it in general too. So I think this last year at USC, I really took another step with it.
Shout out to Lombardi. You hear the voice asking the questions. Great questions. Great work by him. And also shout out to Jared Kingston. He's wearing a National Hot Rod Association t-shirt, rocking the stash. He's from Redding, California, local kid, like, been on the West Coast his whole life. Yeah, where he grew up, goes to Washington State, then USC, then gets drafted by the Niners. There's just a lot of, like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, Mike Leach approved, National Hot Rod Associate. Like, this dude's a lineman. He is a lineman. Country boy type mindset, personality. There's a lot to like. 6'4", 306, okay? 32 and a quarter inch arms. He's going to be playing inside. He's not going to be playing outside with that. 24 years old, only 1 year younger than Ben Bartsch, his competition. Ran a 5.0240. That's great. That's top 93 percentile of guards. 1.710 yard split, good. 7.53 cone, good. 31 and a half inch vertical? Whew! For a big boy? Top 88 percentile of all guards. Great. 9.3 broad jump. Top 92 percentile. 36 bench press reps. The short arms. He's got some punch. And that came across in his tape. Now, you look at the athletic comps. Scott Questenberry out of LSU, 85%. Danny Pinter, 85%. There's not a lot of, how do I say this? You put his numbers in. Not a lot of NFL starting caliber players fit this. That's why he's the back end of the sixth round. That's where he is. This is, you're drafting a hyper-athletic, undersized, short-armed guy to play offensive line. Doesn't mean he can't do it. The 49ers role is perfect for him, and he landed in a great spot. He went to a power scheme. It wouldn't have worked. He's got an opportunity for it to work here. Went to Anderson Union High School, again, Redding, California. Graduated from Washington with a social science and gerontology degree. Was a three-star recruit. So he was with Washington for 4 years. 2 years with Mike Leach, air raid, pass only. Then he had 2 years of kind of a mix, air raid slash running scheme. Then he transfers to USC and zone blocking up there. So he's got, you love that. Like, you like to check off all these boxes of, he's got a myriad of experience. He's played a lot of football in his time in separate schemes. You like that. Was raised as a Rams fan. That kind of hurts a little bit. Not going to like, especially growing up in Reading. Come on, man. But his cousin, Daniel Marks, was a fullback at Stanford. He was also the California, we're talking about Jared Kingston now, the California discus champion, threw 172.7. Pretty impressive throw there. NorCal All-Offense back in 2017. Defensively at high school, 53 tackles, 30 for loss, 15 sacks. He was a player. He was a player. And his plan was to go pro after his time at Washington State, but he got a late leg injury and missed the last four games. And so because of that, he was like, man, this kind of hurts. You know, I'm not going to be able to do the testing, which is where he kind of shines. Elects to transfer, goes down to USC, has, you know, plays with Caleb Williams, Brendan Rice, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, a lot of talent on that roster. Terrible coaching. Shout out to Kingsbury. But while he was at USC, had a 3.3 GPA doing master's work, and he's played everywhere. Listen to these starts. This is what I like about this. The versatility, he's shown it. The 49ers are going to pigeonhole him into guard, though, I think. He's got 16 starts at left guard, 10 starts at left tackle, 6 starts at right guard, 5 starts at right tackle. In the NFL, guard only, maybe some center work, but what the 49ers have continuously shown with these interior offensive linemen that they bring in, whether that's Jason Poe, Nick Sakil, Spencer Burford, Aaron Banks, learn guard first. Learn guard first. Maybe we'll teach you some center. Year 2. Even Dominique Pooney, they're not putting him at center. They're not doing it. It might eventually, but they're saying guard only. Learn guard first, then maybe center. And so that's the same route Jared Kingston's going to be taking. Just got married in May of 2023. Congratulations. Learn to apologize. But then after that, you know, let's go to the contract he got. You know, it's slated. It's not like it's negotiated. 4 year, $4.1 million deal. Now here's my write up on him. Okay. And again, shout out to Josh, who said, you know, he's really excited about this kid. Josh stamps a couple guys every year. Last year, his guy, Robert Beal. This year, Jared Kingston's one of his guys he stamped. Here's my draft write-up of Jared Kingston. Athleticism, versatility, change of direction. The short shuttle, which got a lot of play. The 49ers came out and said, yeah, we didn't even look. We don't even measure that. But, you know, change of direction does show on tape. And so whenever he tests on that, that makes sense. Gets tossed away by defensive tackles too often. Does not anchor against defensive tackles. But has a very mean, nasty streak whenever he gets a block, a defensive end, or an edge, or a linebacker. He's two different players. I could make, you know, and we have a full breakdown up of the All-22 game tape of Jared Kingston at the 49ersrush.com. You can go sign up. It's up right now. And on our Patreon page. Like, you watch the tape, and there's two different Jared Kingston. You block the tough defensive tackles, tape's not great. You put him on an edge or a linebacker or get to the second level, it's A+. It's like, oh, this is a, you know, day two draft pick whenever he's getting to the second level or whatever else. You put him on defensive tackles, and you're like, this dude should not be drafted. And so can he learn how to anchor and how to play against bigger, stronger, imposing defensive tackles? That's what it's going to come down to for Kingston. Can the coaching get him there? Now, I love Chris Forster, the 49ers O-line coach. Kind of hard to pick an offensive lineman that has been developed into a quality starter since he's been here. It's going to be honest. Not to say he doesn't develop, but Spencer Burford was at his best as a rookie. He's only, you know, gone down. Colton McKivitz might have increased some, but you're not really seeing that upward trend. Aaron Banks, you know, the injuries, that kind of is what it is. But, like, all right, who's going to be the guy that we could say we have developed this player into a starter? We haven't really seen it. Maybe you could throw out there Jake Brindle, who is a career journeyman backup, but I don't know. Now, back to my evaluation. At his best, when pulling or going to the second level, the athleticism shows every single play. It's on the tape. Good twitch for a guard. Feet are his best asset, but waist bends too often. That's a problem. So if you have good knee bend, and you can always see the numbers, right? Think about a silverback gorilla, right? You got Trent Williams right there, right? You can always see the chest. He bends at the waist too often. His balance gets over his toes. I don't like that. And so for a smaller guard to have bad balance, that's like a double negative. It's two wrongs, and I don't like that. So you could be smaller or have bad balance. You can't be both. And I saw that way too much in his tape. And that's another thing. You know, you're coming from an air raid to, you know, being coached at USC, which has some of the worst coaches. You know, I'm sorry. It's just defense, offense, poorly coached. It's just what they do. And I hate that it's like that. And it's continued through several head coaches. Lincoln Riley's amazing, but good Lord. Let's just be honest. Kingsbury's not a good coach. And did not develop this kid to where he could have been. And there's just so many fundamentals whenever you watch USC, whether that's Marshawn Lloyd, defense, offense, doesn't matter. There's issues that are just not coached out of players. They just tell them, go be good athletes. And that's a problem. That's come across. Now, he does have 5 to 7 highlight reel blocks a game, which are incredible. And so if you watch the highlights, you're like, ooh, he's a fun player. But you watch the game tape, all right, the consistency is an issue. That's there. And, you know, my final thing that I wrote was needs a lot of polish for someone who's already played 49 career games. He's older. Yeah, 49ers are going to redshirt this dude. He's not going to be playing a lot. He's not expected to play. I don't think he's going to be on the first or second team as far as guards go. You want to stash him, see if he can develop. But, again, he's already 24. So you're stashing a 24-year-old hoping he can play at 25. We'll see. Now, only missed 5 games in 6 years. That's awesome. PFF grades last year, 60.5 overall, 74.9 pass blocking. That's where he excels. 53.0 run blocking. That's where he's got to improve. 65.4 special teams. The athleticism shows. You know, was picked 6th round overall, 215. All right. Dane Brugler had him as the number 38 guard, a priority free agent. Did not have, you know, a 7th round grade. And he went in the 6th round. So we'll see. Played in 49 games, 37 career starts. Impressive. You look at the depth chart, okay? You keep 4 to 5 interior offensive linemen. He's a guard only. So you got Banks, Brindle, Feliciano, Dominique Pooney. Those are your 4 locks on the inside. You might keep 1 or 2 more. Burford and Barch. Makes sense. Burford's the first guard. Barch, center guard prospect. He could do both. And he's got a ridiculous amount of experience. And he's only a year older. Then you get Jared Kingston, who's kind of by himself. Do you keep him because he's a draft pick? And then there's guys behind him. Nick Sakel can play center and guard. Drake Nugent, center only. Bryson Mays, center only. I don't know. How does this guy find a roster spot on the 53? I want to go back to he's drafted. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt. But you look at these numbers, and if it comes down to Ben Barch or Jared Kingston, I'm sorry. Ben Barch is a better guard now, and he can play center. And he's got ridiculous experience. And he was with the 49ers last year. How the world is Jared Kingston going to beat him out? I don't know. But we're going to find out. And if you cut this guy, you're not getting him back. He's going to go join another team. So if you want him, you got to stash him on the 53. You cut him, you're not getting him back on the practice squad. I'm telling you that now. He's a 6th round pick. Somebody's going to snipe him. The depth the 49ers have on the whole line, I know people don't want to hear this, and I know it goes kind of against the narrative that's been put out there. They've got some ridiculous depth right now at the offensive line position. Now, is there a lot of top-end starter guys? I don't think so. I think you have Feliciano, and I think that you got a healthy Banks. Those two are starter-level NFL players. When healthy, Brindle, below-average starter. Dominique Pooney, we'll see. Burford, he's got all the talent in the world, but it's gotten worse every year. And Ben Barch started 20-plus games in the NFL. So you've got the depth. It's just who's going to take it. And can Kingston be one of those young pups that comes up and says, now's my time, old man, and take one of those jobs? That's what he's got to do. So excited to see the rookie out there. He's a fun personality. Hopefully he gets some more time in front of the mic just because he seems like a fun guy. But, yeah, Jared Kingston, go out. Let's make something happen. Surprise. Earn one of these 53-man roster spots because next year a lot of guards are leaving. Now, this countdown is for 2024. We got him 58. But can he make it to the 53? That's the question. For us, we'll just keep counting them down.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Probably one of the most frustrating picks, and there's been a lot of them for every single team in the NFL, but when you look at the 49ers and recent picks, Cameron Latu, a third-round tight end out of Alabama last year, the only rookie to not contribute at all, got put on IR, stashed on IR. Yeah, it was actually injured because he's still not back practicing, missed all of OTAs and minicamp, probably the player that needed practice the most. Cameron Latu comes in number 57 this year. Not great for a third-round rookie last year. Came in number 40 last year. Dropped 17 spots. By far, one of the largest drops of any player that was carried over from 2023 to 2024. Now, not all is lost. The kid's 24. He's got a lot of positives. He's a receiving tight end. You lose your number two and three tight end, Roz Dwelly and Charlie Warner, to the Falcons. There's space. There is space for Latu to seize the day and move into this tight end two or three spot. But he can't get on the field, and that's kind of the issue with him. Now, I don't want this to be, you know, a full negative episode by any stretch of the imagination. I was very low on Latu before he was drafted. Went to all the training camp practices, was the worst player on the field, regardless of offense, defense, position group, whatever. Did have a couple shining spots in the preseason. Then the mysterious injury, where it came from, when it happened, nobody really knows. But surgery, still not completely recovered. We'll see what happens at training camp. I don't want this to be a full negative. I want to dive through what it was that Shanahan and Kittle saw and see in this young man to be able to earn a roster spot, because there is a chance. The ceiling is there. There's no doubt about it. He wears jersey number 81 for the 49ers. Strong number. 6'4", 240. He's on the smaller side of all the tight ends. He's the receiving option guy. 32 3/8-inch arms, 24 years old. Ran a 4.7, not too fast. 7.33 cone, not too shifty. 32.5-inch vertical, pretty solid. 10-foot broad jump, great. 14 bench press reps. You put it as information onto mock draft, well, you get Kate Otten and Mecole Pruitt. Pruitt we've had. But both of those guys... It's hard to hang your hat on what makes this guy good outside of the receiving touchdowns. It broke the Alabama school record for receiving touchdowns for a tight end. How much of that was the system? How much of that was him? And he's had just a weird journey the entire time. Was a linebacker going to college, recruited as, you know, an outside linebacker, defensive end. just couldn't cut it. Couldn't get any playing time whatsoever. They switched him over to tight end, and it worked. It worked for Alabama. Hasn't worked yet in the pros, but we'll see. Like, he's still a raw prospect, which is weird whenever you look at the amount of playing time he got in college, the fact that he's in his second year now, still raw. And that's the issue, is the 49ers have a championship roster now. The 49ers have a tight end to need now. How does Cameron Latu in his raw, didn't play at all last year, didn't play at all in minicamp, OTAs, where's that going to disappear? How's that, you know, go away? I don't know what that looks like. Went to Olympus High School, was a four-star recruit. You go back, and again, recruited as a linebacker to Alabama. That should tell you how good he is. 45 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 3 sacks on defense as a high school senior. On offense in high school, 10 catches, 168 yards, 1 touchdown. Also had a couple rush plays. Returned a kickoff, 75 yards. There's a lot of that stuff. One of the top weak side defensive ends in the country coming out in 2018. Number 2 player out of Utah. There's just a lot to like about what he presented. It just didn't come to fruition. 19 schools offered him scholarships. Notre Dame, Alabama, Oregon, Nebraska. I can go on and on. Like, blue chip programs all wanted this guy. In 2019, so it took 2 years for him to switch him, became a tight end. Learned for basically a year, then excelled. Great. Now, here's what I will say. He does have a fraternal twin brother, Nathan, who plays football at Oklahoma State. Cousins to Leiatu Latu, who was a first-round draft pick out of UCLA, but I don't think they're very, very close. So you've got some pedigree in there. And whenever he was picked by the 49ers in the third round, it was just like, whoa, what is happening here? I had a 6th round grade on him. He was my number 13 tight end. They took him in the third round, back into the third round, but still. Now, Kyle, this is a Kyle Shanahan pick. One, he played for Steve Sarkisian, who's good friends with Kyle Shanahan, now the head coach of the University of Texas. But Sark was there at Alabama as their OC, and he's responsible for switching him from defensive end to tight end. That's huge. Again, Arizona State players coached by Herb. Like, there's certain coaches that Shanahan and John Lynch, whatever they say, they take as gold. And Sark is one of those. Sark is one of those. So here's Kyle talking about, this was right after they drafted him last year, why they were so high on Cameron Latu.
He liked about him the most, that he looked like a good player, but also how much better he got throughout the year and how much more we think's in his body. And then you look at his history and knowing he came in playing linebacker the first 2 years, I think, switched over. So he's late to the position. And as you watch him throughout the year, we think he can get a lot better in the run game and the pass game. And it's hard to say whether he's usually you designate a guy one or the other. He's a run blocker or a pass blocker. I mean, or a pass game guy. And we see this guy is both, and he could accelerate in both. And that's important to us with all our tight ends.
Definitely you hear, like, look, it's a third round pick, late third round pick. This is a ceiling projection pick. It's not what he was. Now, let me go to my pre-draft write-up, okay? This is what I wrote up on him before he was drafted by the Niners. One, he met with the 49ers, so they were high on him before the draft, during the draft, after the draft. I said, high football IQ and knowledge, versatility, no separation, which is weird with a receiving tight end. No separation. But great get off with a little bit of wiggle. Speed may limit it to the next level. Best in 2 tight end sets, which is exactly what he would do with the Niners because you got Kittle out there. No athletic upside. He's not an athletic. Contested catches are non-existent. Whiffs on a lot of blocks in the open field. Great drop step after he makes the catch. The Niners love that. Smooth route running. He was best versus zone. He can find spots in zone. It's kind of that... How do you measure that Travis Kelce special ability? He kind of has that. You put him against zone coverage, he just floats to space. Put him in man, disappears. Contested catches, disappears. Athleticism, disappears. But the one thing I constantly would hold my hat on is, man, you put him against zone coverage, dude's out there. Was a wrestler in high school, played rugby, a lot of positives to what he brings. But then, like, I don't know. You look at the stats, okay? 56 career receptions, 787 yards, 12 touchdowns. That was his. That's the best that he brought. It's pretty solid. 12 touchdowns is incredible in a college career. Now, you jump to what happened last year, okay, 2023. Terrible minicamp OTAs. Gets out there, the worst training camp that has ever... I'm not laughing at him. I'm trying my hardest to not say... I don't want to dump on people. Like, it's just... Here's what I'll say. There, I tracked whenever I was at practice. There were a few of us. Shout out to Matthew, Victoria, lots of other people who helped out. We would track drop passes a lot of times. And one practice, I mean, you can see. Like, you can see the whole field and, oh, who dropped that? Okay, that's number 10, Roddy Bell, whatever. No player on the 49ers roster had more than one drop on a... I don't remember the day. I could go back through my notes. Not one player had more than one drop, except for Cameron Latu, who had five drops in one practice. This was just... And it wasn't just a daily thing. It was all the time thing. Now, he did have that one huge preseason touchdown moment, which was awesome. Probably the highlight of all the preseason. It was versus the Broncos, where the 49ers were down by like 19 points. Going to the fourth quarter, Trey Lance comes in with the fours or the threes and leads the team back to win the game at the end. And he threw the touchdown pass to Cameron Latu for zone coverage. Found the soft spot. Trey Lance threw a perfect pass, catches it, scores a touchdown. We even got a penalty. You remember Brandon Ayuk and a bunch of the players ran on the field in street clothes because they were so pumped. Got the penalty, all that stuff. But that was versus the Broncos. That was the high point of his 2023. After that, you know, the hamstring injury, quote unquote, it was an injury. I'm not saying he's not injured. I am saying nobody knew he was injured. And then all of a sudden he's put on season-ending IR and everybody's like, what? But apparently he was hurt. Didn't practice, didn't do any of these things. And that's kind of the issue, is because he needed this year's minicamp and OTAs more than anybody. He's been sitting in meeting rooms for the entire year, unable to practice. And I really felt like, all right, let's see what he could do. Him and Drake Jackson, kind of in the same ballpark as me, for me. You know, these high upside picks at positions of need that finally should get their chance, and they're not practicing. That's huge. Now, let's go to the position leader, George Kittle, talking about Cameron Latu. And this was recent. This was at OTAs.
I think, you know, Cam has come a long way in his rehab stuff. And so, you know, really the most important thing for him is just to get back on a practice field. And he'll do that during training camp. And he's doing a great job in the meeting rooms. He knows the offense. He's doing a very good job of just learning and understanding what our goals are. So, you know, hopefully he can take everything from that meeting room and, you know, apply it to practice. And goes out there and plays at a high level.
The learning times, school's done, man. Like, you've had a full year to sit in rooms, watch film with the team, learn, all mental reps. Now you've got OTAs, off-season, minicamp, still learning. It's time to play. And the problem is, what makes it even harder, is if he's been rehabbing, he's not going to be in football shape. He hasn't been training for football. He's been rehabbing. That's different. And so I'm like, man, is this dude even further behind the eight ball now? Like, is he going to be at his... Athleticism was a red flag. Now you're telling me he's not going to be in the best shape, football shape, strength, all that stuff. Because, I mean, he couldn't even make it through OTA. Like, that is scary to me. And it just in the back of my head, and I think other fans feel the same way. Is this another third-round pick that will never contribute anything? And it's a long list. And, you know, I'm a very big Shanahan supporter. I think he's a damn good coach. I'm so thankful we have him. You look at these third-round picks, it's bad. Jalen Hurd, Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, could he do something this year? And Cameron Latu. Like, that is a lot of third-round misses. Now, there's some third-round hits for sure. Jair Brown, Fred Warner, a couple other guys. But a lot of misses. Is he in that? I don't think he's there yet. There's still hope because the tight end 2 and 3 spot is still open. Now, I feel like the 49ers personnel and coaching staff feel similar to myself because guess what? They went out and signed not one, but two. Two veteran tight ends with a lot of starting experience. And you look at this roster, okay? George Kittle's the lock. That Eric Saubert, he's a lock. You look at his guaranteed money that they paid him, special teams, all that stuff. Eric Saubert's going to be on this 53-man roster. I don't care. Like, that's happening. Then they go pay Logan Thomas, who, guess what? Logan Thomas is what you hoped Cameron Latu would be. This receiving tight end two option that can move the chains. Like, when they signed Logan Thomas, I immediately thought, oh no, Cameron Latu. Like, this is the worst thing that could have happened for Cameron Latu, because that was the role they wanted him to take, but he can't even practice. That Logan Thomas thing was just like, I don't know. You keep 2 to 4 tight ends, you're keeping Kittle, you're keeping Eric Saubert, you're probably keeping Logan Thomas. Then you got Braden Willis, who way outperformed Cameron Latu last year in training camp. Got snaps in the Super Bowl at tight end, special teams upside, blocking, fullback upside, all those things. Then you get to Cameron Latu, Jake Tonjes, and Mason Plyne. Those guys, I don't think any one of them is going to make this roster. One of them might make the practice squad. If Cameron Latu gets cut, he sure as hell ain't coming back here on the practice squad. He'll have another team. That will give him an opportunity. But I don't know. We got him 57. I hope Cameron Latu comes out and turns into what Shanahan and Lynch and Kittle wanted him to be, which is that receiving option from the tight end spot behind Kittle, which we haven't really had. We really haven't. I think it's going to be Logan Thomas, but Cameron Latu, go out, man. Like, you still got that opportunity. The Niners want you to win the job. They spent the 3rd-round pick on you. The 49ers would much rather have Cameron Latu step up and seize the moment and beat out Logan Thomas and become that guy. That's what they want. Can he do it? That's the question. That's something I'm excited to watch. So when you see number 81 out there, I just hope he's out there for the first practice. Like, oh, come on. Get 81 in it. Dressed, get them out there. I want to see it. Come on, Cameron Latu. We need you, buddy. This team needs you. You get one more of those little options on offense, and gosh, that's a difference. That's a difference in playoff win. That's a difference in a lot. So come on, Cameron Latu. Surprises.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save